getting started, please, and start the call.
Of course. Let's please start the recording. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Euralo Copenhagen meeting activities call taking place on Wednesday, 18th of January 2017 at 1700 UTC. On the call today, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Wolf Ludwig, Ilya Lansepuro, Lutz Donner-Hacke, Maureen Hilliard, and Nenad Marinkovic. And I have just received a Skype note from Tijani, so I would like to inform that we'll be dialing out to him soon and he will be on the call. We have received an apology from Dave Annenty-Laxing, and from staff we have Heide Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanko, Adam Peake, Evin Erdoğdu, Gisela Gruber, and myself, Yeshim Nazar. Finally, I would like to remind everyone to state their names before speaking for the transcription purposes. And over to you, Olivier. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Yeshim. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Can you all hear me clearly?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, fantastic. Let's hope it remains that way. So, welcome everyone to this call, and thank you for joining us. This is the first of a number of calls that we are going to have in the run-up to the Copenhagen meeting. Another meeting in our region, and that means we need to organize, in addition to the usual ICANN meeting, we need to organize a number of activities that are specific and that focus primarily on outreach, but also on capacity building for people in our part of the world. Indeed, Copenhagen in Denmark is an interesting place for us because there is no at-large structure in Denmark. We do not appear to have any participants, even individual participants, that come from Denmark. So the outreach over there is going to be quite important. It's one of these, if you follow the one at-large structure in every country or having participants from every country in Europe, well, this is one of the countries where we don't have participants. The only person whom I understand takes regularly involved is someone that whom you might have heard of, Wolfgang Kleinwächter. And he's not Danish, but he works at the University of Aarhus in Denmark. So there's definitely some work to be done here. And we are in a meeting. It's the first meeting of the year, which means that it is a long meeting. It's not a short one. And so we have plenty of opportunities to engage the local community. There are several facets to the engagement. The first one is with, if one looks at the ICANN block schedule, and I'm sorry, I haven't got a copy of it because it's still a work in progress at the moment, but day one has been earmarked the whole day for activities that include outreach and engagement and capacity building and this sort of activities. And so the feeling that I had on this is that in addition to the activities of the ALAC, we could use or we should use that day to do capacity building and to do engagement, and hopefully we could be joined by some of the other communities in that work. I think that's really the sort of overall summary of what we have ahead of us. There are several different threads to this. The first one is, well, what are we going to do on this day one? The afternoon is already being discussed, and you, for an outreach event or outreach session. One of the things that I wanted to avoid was what we might have had in the past, which is that we have, on the one hand, the at-large outreach and engagement working group, On the other side, we have the capacity building working group. On the other side, we have the RELO team that meets up. On the other side, we have global stakeholder engagement, and everyone works independently of everyone else, or perhaps works with one of the other stakeholders or one of the other groups. And then the groups that are not included hear about it and think, hang on, why are we not involved? This is exactly what we're here for. So I'm hoping that this call is a good way for us to coordinate what we're doing and to let everyone know what's going on, and then that we can build from this call onwards and continue working together to build this in an inclusive manner without duplicating work and without all the tension that one gets when you suddenly have been dropped off and think, wait a minute, we have a whole group that's developed something and now it's not being used because nobody's heard about it and the communication didn't go through. So the bulk of this of today's discussion is going to be about the outreach activities, and then we've got capacity building session discussion, and then finally a discussion on the Euralo General Assembly, which I think is important. But as far as an outreach component part is concerned, I don't really think that we use General Assemblies to do outreach. In fact, if we did, then it would turn even more people away, because most of the business of a General Assembly is quite just process-oriented. So let's start with the beginning. And the first thing is the ICANN information booth and the opportunity to reach out to Nordic countries, consultation with outreach and engagement working group. And we have members, some of the co-chairs of the outreach and engagement working group present on the call. At present, we haven't really done any work on this. As you know, there is an ICANN information booth at every ICANN meetings, obviously. There are brochures that are usually there, but there is no specific presence from the regional at-large organization at that booth, unless this has been done in the past. And so I open the floor. Whether there's been anything done already in the past, what the feedback was to it, and what we should be looking at doing here. Are there any thoughts, comments, suggestions? And is there, and this I direct at SAF, is there an opportunity for having a representative from the RELO regularly meeting people at the ICANN information booth? Hi, Diorish.
Yes. Hi, Olivier. The short answer is yes. While there are a lot of fellow alumni there to do the work, I a little area in that information booth where we could station Euralo people to do outreach, I would say particularly during the breaks and the lunches, and ensure that all of the promotional material are there and answer any questions, et cetera. I'm sure that we're happy to arrange that with you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Heidi. It's Olivier speaking. So are you saying that the booth is large enough to have a corner that could be like a meeting point?
I would. This is Heidi again. I'm going to double-check with Tanzanika and likely Janice as well to look into that. But I know that we've done this in the past. So let me find out. And we can go from there. There's usually a sofa there. So if that's not being used by others, I'm sure you can just sit down on that.
Okay. Thank you, Heidi. Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you very much for this, and thank you, Heidi. Tijani speaking. I remember that in Hyderabad, we had a corner for the fellowship alumni. So they were always there, and it was their corner. It was their chairs. So I think it is something that we can do this time also in Copenhagen, but this time it will be for at large. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Tijani. Let's leave this with Heidi so that we can find out if we have the ability to do that or whether we have to share the space with the fellowship or with others. But that's a good way forward. The opportunity to reach out to Nordic countries actually was the I recall it was Irjo that mentioned this, as in the we're not just reaching out to people in Denmark, but most of the other Nordic countries would be quite likely to come to Denmark as well. Irjo, can you expand a little bit on this, please? And sorry to put you on the spot. I haven't. Didn't give you any advance warning on this.
Oh no, no, this is my favorite topic. This is Yuri Lansipuro for the Transcript Record. The fact is that the entire Nordics and Scandinavia, and also the Baltic countries, are a white spot for AOSs. That is, say, our Finnish AOS is actually the only one in the Nordic countries. And as you said, I mean, this would be an opportunity to actually try to recruit a few new AOSs from that area. What I could do is that I could actually talk to some of my Nordic colleagues from the Nordic ISOCs. And, of course, there has been some ISOC chapters have this view that they don't want to be ALSEs. Some want to be, but I think that we could explore that a little bit also. And then we should be prepared for really one-to-one discussions if there is interest in actually becoming ALSEs from that area. Estonia is actually one prospective candidate also. They have Eurodis in June and so on and so forth. So there are people who might be interested. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Irjo. And a note in the chat, we're discussing the booth, and fellows usually staff the booth, says Adam, but there's always someone there at all times. And the question is whether we can also be in the booth or part of the booth. I'm a little concerned myself with having a separate at-large or Uralo booth, because it is quite a significant responsibility to have that booth constantly occupied, and empty booths speak worse than having no booth. When you just leave a booth with nothing, nobody there, and just a few brochures, it just feels a bit... Well, that's just a personal feeling, but it doesn't feel too great. It's good to have a thing that's maybe with the ICANN booth, perhaps. Okay, any other comments or thoughts on the booth? I don't see anyone else on this. So next is the Global Stakeholder Engagement Activities and the showcase. Now, in the past, we have conducted showcases just like all of the other regional at-large organizations when the ICANN meeting visits their region. But in the last time we had a meeting in our region was in Helsinki. Prior to that, we had a meeting in Dublin. And over there, we had a joint session with a global stakeholder engagement that was looking at, I think it was called the European Stakeholders Meeting, where the late afternoon started with a roundtable discussion on topical issues that would be found in the different, specifically by European stakeholders from all parts of ICANN. And then that moved on and opened up to a cocktail afterwards, where you would not only have the RALO, but of course the other participants in there. So that makes it quite an open engagement. And I personally thought that it went pretty well in Dublin. And we had a good turnout of people, and that, of course, brought the whole thing forward. In Helsinki, it was a little bit different. I can't even recall what we did in Helsinki. Was there anything so specific? I mean, there was a discussion, but I think we were less integrated with everyone else in the Helsinki thing. So I'd like to see if we can do the same sort of thing as in Dublin, in Copenhagen, and have European stakeholders engagement discussion, and then move on with with an open cocktail after that. There is a mention of a ripe MOU signature. You might or might not be aware, but other regional at-large organizations have signed memorandums of understanding for collaboration with a regional internet registry. AP Rallo in particular and Naralo have been done that, and they have been collaborating quite extensively with their RIR, to the extent that in Naralo, their latest General Assembly, which I think is imminent, is going to take place at an ARIN meeting, ARIN being the Regional Internet Registry for North America. So there are some advantages to having good relationship with the Regional Internet Registry, if only because often the numbers part of ICANN feels a little bit left off. And I recall a number of discussions in the past with Ray Polzak, who was a board member that had been selected by the Address Supporting Organization, and he had come to the ALAC quite a few times saying, why don't you guys get also involved in the numbers, because they're really important. So that's the background to it. At present, there is collaboration between URALO and RIPE on the topic of EURODIG, the European Dialogue and Internet Governance. There's definitely good interaction through that, but having a direct link or MOU with RIPE is something that is being considered. The question is whether we would be ready in time for Copenhagen or not. Copenhagen might be a good moment to do it, but you might or might not be aware there is currently an effort going on in URALO to rewrite the bylaws, the URALO bylaws. And, of course, when you start signing MOUs, you need to have steady bylaws as well. I guess the RIPE might be reticent in entering an MOU now based on the fact that we're changing the bylaws, and we might first sort our house out before signing the MOU. I haven't discuss this with them yet, and so this is just something just to keep on the side. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it's not going to kill the whole activity and the whole cocktail. And I was going to ask if Adam had more information on this on the European engagement. Adam Peake?
Hello, Adam Peake speaking for the record. I don't have any comments about or don't have any information about the MOU with RIPE NCC. Chris Buckeridge would be the contact as RIPE's engagement director. And I guess, Olivia, you're in contact with him anyway about that. I did hear that RIPE was very positive about this relationship, and they are trying to build relationships with the RALOs across all of the regions. So I only understand that it's a positive reception from RIPE, and good luck with it. I hope it goes forward. About engagement, so I've begun talking to two separate groups of people, which is really mirroring our experience in Hyderabad, and the first is contacting a group of civil society organizations in Denmark, mainly Copenhagen-based, and so far I've written to it's either 9 or 10 as the core group that I was introduced to. One of these is a consumer organization, and that's the one that I'm particularly thinking that could be targeted as an ALS. Of course, I haven't yet had the opportunity to mention this to them, and this would really be something as a conversation for you guys rather than for me to lead, but just thinking about potential targets, that would be one. The others are mainly organizations that I originally knew from the World Summit on the Information Society, so going back some time, and they tend to be more rights-based organizations and organizations interested in rights, like the Danish Human Rights Network and so on. But they're all contacts that I hope will come up with networks and very early days at the moment. The second is universities. And what I will do, of course, is once these contacts start coming in, Olivier, you and I have spoken a little bit about this, and I've also spoken to Fazaneh Badi, who's the chair of the NCUC, to say that I will put you in touch with them so that while we as staff might try and arrange the facilities in the meeting room, the contents and the agenda would be something that would be up to URALO and NCUC as it stands at the moment. So as I was saying, the second group is universities. There's the University of Copenhagen, which has many different schools interested in information technology and media and so on, and I've contacted a number of people across the university, the Copenhagen Business School, and as you mentioned, Aarhus University, which was Wolfgang Kleinwächter's home for some years. I think he's now left there, actually, but those are the three main universities that I've contacted. What we're thinking is what I've done is to make an offer that if there's interest, then student and faculty, we could put on a couple of tailored sessions for them, describing what ICANN is, what it does, the work and issues that everybody's working on. And that, again, would be something that, as this develops, then I would like to come back to you as the community to develop the sort of content and so on this. Again, early days and no particular responses to report on at the moment, but this is where we're at. And Dave and others will remember this pattern from Hyderabad, and I hope we get things moving a little bit quicker than we did in Hyderabad. But that's where we're at the moment. Just to reiterate, Denmark is an interesting location for ICANN. As you mentioned, Olivier, there's no ALS. There's no Internet Society chapter, which is related. The NCUC, which now has, over 500 members. They only have one member from Denmark, and that's Wolfgang. So it's quite barren in a strange sort of way, and that's something that I think we should look at as an opportunity, and I hope we get members for all coming into ICANN and developing stuff with us. So thanks very much. That's where I'm at the moment. Cheers.
Thanks very much for this update, Adam. That's really helpful. It's Olivier speaking. And the question I had for you, and I open the floor for questions, of course, and comments, but the question I have is, time-wise, what day were you looking at for the potential of a lecture or roundtable discussion in an external auditorium outside of ICANN, or the reverse? What, were you looking at day one?
Yes. So the first day one, March the 11th, Saturday, we see that at the moment on the block schedule as designated for outreach. And so I'm thinking Saturday afternoon probably for these types of events, whether it's any joint event that you and I may hold or whether it's when we invite others to come into the venue, I'm thinking at the moment, to have a lecture or to have a special session. In Hyderabad, we actually went out to the university and gave some lectures. I don't think that would be as necessary in Copenhagen. It's a smaller city, tighter city, so students would be able to get across much easier. It was an hour's drive in Hyderabad, so different logistics. So yes, expecting people to come into the venue, or that would be the hope, on the Saturday afternoon as the target, potentially also the morning, depending on the level of interest. And one of the things, just to let you know, one of the things that I'm asking at the moment is that, if possible, if the supporting organizations and advisory committees try not to hold high interest is the wrong word, high priority sessions for them, so that there is freedom for some of your members to come to these sessions and talk to visitors and so on. Because if you have sessions that you all have to be at and feel you can't leave, then no one is available to come and do outreach, and that's a clash that we have to try and avoid. So, working on the agenda so that these things can actually take place is important. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for this, Adam. Very helpful. Are there any questions or comments on this aspect of outreach? You mentioned the Adam. You mentioned the internet governance related courses. Are these? I mean, you basically have a list. It would be interesting if you could share the sort of the status of where you are on that once things start firming up a little bit, because if we are to write material for this, then we really definitely need the time, and time is you know, passes very quickly. I see Tijani Benjema actually has put his hand up. So Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Adam, Tijani speaking. Adam, you said that you would prefer to make this on the first day. And it is because of the block schedule, it is the first day was dedicated to outreach. I'm a little bit concerned about that, because if you do it the first day and people will come or we will go to them the first day, I'm afraid we're not well prepared altogether, we and the people on the site. If we do it later, we may give more time for those people to come already to the meeting, to see what is the meeting at least, or if they are at the university or outside, we may already have a contact with them and more or less prepare ourselves and prepare them for this effort. I find this outreach effort very important, and it is our duty as at large to make this kind of activity every time we go in the world, because it is our duty to have more end users to come. And if we do it the first day, as I said, I prefer to be there on the site and to have contact with the leaders of those groups or people to whom we can talk before, and they can talk to us, so that we prepare well the event and to make use of it at the best way. It is in the block schedule, that's right, it is written on day one, but it is not compulsory to be there. We may do it later. Thank you.
If I may just quickly respond. Yeah, I think, Tijani, I understand exactly what you're saying, I can see the point you're making. But what we have to do is try and coordinate across supporting organizations and at large, and, you know, we'd also probably want the SSAC to come in and so on and so forth. So it's really that if we make a broad principle that if the block schedule says outreach, then can we try to make sure that your priority sessions are not scheduled for that day, that some of your some people would be able to leave, then that would be ideal. The reason I'm saying this, and it is certainly not agreed across the organization, I'm only putting out an idea from my personal idea and experience, the reason I'm saying it is that in Hyderabad we had the outreach day, and yet it was a day when I couldn't, because of the way that the at-large schedule had been arranged previously, previous to our efforts on outreach, I couldn't get anybody to come in. And the SSAC was the same. They had effectively an all-hands meeting where people couldn't leave. They had to be in their meeting for their own purposes. So it's really a matter of trying to, you know, arrange it up front. And I agree with the problems of having it on the first day. But also, it's a Saturday, and perhaps we can see how that works out. Just going back to another issue, Olivier, you mentioned internet governance courses, and it's not really about that. What I was thinking is not something something that would need such preparation and so on. It would be more that students would come in and have an introduction to ICANN, to hear the work that you're doing, the issues that you work on, to hear the priorities of the SSAC, of the RSAC, of NCUC, and other groups, and of course the other GNSO constituencies may be of interest to some of them as well. So it's really trying to design a broad introductory schedule so that they can get an idea of what's happening. Without fully, we also have the Newcomers Day on Sunday, but there's something that we can tailor to a smaller group of specific students to come in that may be of interest to them. Thanks.
Olivier? Hello, this is Isham speaking. Just trying to confirm if anyone can hear me.
Yes, and I could hear you too, but no one could hear me. It's Olivier speaking, and I've been frantically trying to press the mute button or unmute, but it seems to work now. Sorry about this. Any questions, any comments on this? Tijani, any response, or are we set?
Yes, I understood what Adam said. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. So, Adam, we'll just have to wait then, I guess, until we get a bit more information from you. I understand, so the day one, in the afternoon, we've already got some discussion going on with NCUC, and I'm glad to see that both Tatiana and Fritane are on the call to do an outreach event, a joint outreach between Uraldo and NCUC, and of course, open to everyone. And that would be focusing specifically on outreach. But the morning looks like the time when we can do capacity building. And I see, of course, the difference between the two, being the outreach is all about explaining what what the organization does or what the organization can do for people, why should they get involved, etc. Whilst capacity building picks on a specific set of topics and tells and effectively teaches people something new on this. And if anybody disagrees with this, please let me, you know, say it out on the call, because that's my view of it, so I'm sure there might be different views as well here. So hopefully the events and going to lectures and so on might be better for the morning point. I understand that the ALAC hasn't cast its schedule in stone yet. I see Gisela actually on the call. I'm not sure whether she is able to speak or not, but I was going to ask whether at present there is anything from the ALAC side where there would be absolutely vital meetings on that day one, so that we end up with capacity building in one room and the ALAC in the other, and absolutely no one from ALAC being able to speak to those people that are following the capacity building. I see Tijani Benjema.
Thank you very much, Olivier. I do agree with you that capacity building would be better, much better in the morning than in any other time of the day. I think that we may make it a little bit early, at 8 o'clock, for example, it would be very good. And our meetings at large will be at 9 o'clock. So I think that it is doable. We can do it. Thank you.
Olivier.
Yes, Gisela. Thank you first. Thanks, Tijani. Gisela Gruber.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Gisela speaking. Just with regards to your point with regards to the scheduling for the at large meetings, we actually have a call at 2100 UTC today with Leon and Alan and Heidi. And myself, I've made note of the Saturday afternoon outreach. This will be discussed later on the call, and we'll definitely get back to you. Heidi's on this call as well, so we have two sets of ears. With regards to Dijani's point that he's just made, however, is that the schedule, like it's been over the past couple of meetings, we are not able to start before 8:30 in the morning due to just the block schedule having come out, and you've been on those meetings. The earliest we can start is 08:30, and on the block schedule it even says optional early start, as well as the lunchtime, which is an hour and a half, currently a 90-minute block. There again, it says that the first half hour of the lunch break is considered optional, so it could possibly be used to either the morning meeting running late or the afternoon meeting starting early. But we can't start earlier than 8:30. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gisela. I'm actually quite happy about this. It's Olivier speaking. The 7 a.m. capacity building sessions are quite tiring, I think, for everyone. So that's fine. 8:30 for students, yes, it seems to be the norm. In fact, I think that the fellows usually start at 7 on a daily basis, so it starts early. Any other comments or points on this? So if we work with capacity building in the morning and the outreach in the afternoon, then we have a better sense of what we do. Gisela, your hand is still up.
Sorry, Olivier, old hand, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Now, the next thing is the joint day one outreach afternoon event with NCUC. There is a link in the agenda to the current brainstorming document, which is a Google Doc. We're not making this, we're a small group of people here, so please respect the document. I think it's set to edit by anyone at the moment, but it effectively is the sort of thought process that we're working on at the moment. We, as in the co-chairs of the Outreach and Engagement Working Group and the two people from NCUC, Farzaneh and Tatiana, I think it's taking a good shape. The idea is to have a session, it's a joint outreach session with a topic to discuss. And the basic topic here, so we've got the overall audience, et cetera, ICANN newcomers and the different categories, and then further down the topics for discussion. Perhaps I should let Farzaneh or Tanya talk to us about this briefly, taking us through this document.
Thank you very much, Olivia. I see that Farzaneh is giving this floor to me, saying that I'm leading this effort. So if everyone can have a look at the screen or open this and you see your hour outreach brainstorming document, just as an initial update, what has been already done. We have already submitted the request for the joint outreach, and the time slot we asked for is Saturday, 11th of March, from 3 to 6 p.m. So anything with the students or any capacity building session, probably better to end before 15, so we can all concentrate, or at least you all can concentrate on this event fully. So we saw that this session would represent a joint outreach where we both, URAWA and NCUC, can introduce to civil society, academia, individual users, ourselves, to talk about our goals, about our work in the interactive manner. And the main questions we wanted to discuss are quite simple. Well, first of all, what is new in the ICANN this year, and why should you care to join? And this could be split into different topics, like, for example, jurisdiction, human rights, and other topics which can be interesting for these particular groups at ICANN. And I don't know why, but somehow the title of the session disappeared from this document. I will look into this. But I think the title in the request was "What Can You Change at ICANN?" With you in bold font. So basically, the document we are brainstorming on now is trying to define the target audience of this outreach, defining the way to reach the target audience, in addition to stakeholder engagement team who are contacting the universities. We are trying to also reach through our channels, for example, through NCUC lists or through our connections, like I was talking today to a good colleague of mine who just came from Copenhagen and spent 1 month there on professorship, so he might reach, he might send the invitations. Also maybe creating an event on Eventbrite or Meetup, depending on how many registrations we will have. Maybe we'll have some hard stop to think about this, like for example till the 1st of March we got only 10 registrations, okay, let's go public with this, let's put it to Meetup. What still needs elaboration is topic for discussions, because it's obvious that we have to do some kind of pitch, talks, introduction to ICANN, NCUC and URAWA, and then go to our questions like what is different about ICANN, why should you care to join, what can you and we as URAWA and CUC change at ICANN when we are working on specific issues, what are we targeting and so on. So these should be interactive discussions. So what I was thinking of, and I put it into the document, is that we have to have resource people from URAWA and from NCUC, not many, but who can cover particular topics on requests, like, for example, human rights, like jurisdiction, like, I don't know, anti-abuse policies, whatever. We can think about this once we have the list of topics. So if anyone wants to contribute, and I really invite to contribute into the development of this document, please either comment or suggest your changes in the suggestion mode, so I as a holder of this document can clearly see the changes, because my next step would be summarizing these changes. And I will send again the list to URALO group who is working on this, or ELA group who is working on this outreach, and to our executive committee, asking to comment till Friday, and then I will close this particular document for comments and come up with a new document which will summarize previously made points. Thanks. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Tatiana. It's Olivia speaking. Questions, comments? I note that Danielle and Kama has already done quite some commenting on the document. So if you have any comments on it, please. You said Friday, Tatiana, so please put in your comments in writing by Friday. So then we have a good proposal here. I have been in discussions with Heidi as well on the morning sessions for the capacity building, okay, so we can't do them early in the morning. The question is it possible to do those at lunchtime? And I do not have an answer about this. If it is possible to do capacity building sessions at lunchtime, like they were done in Marrakesh and in other places, I think in Hyderabad, then we will do them at lunchtime. I am definitely not a fan of having 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. sessions in capacity building. I don't think anyone else is that fond of very early sessions either. Tijani Benjamin.
Hello, do you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
We hear you? Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for speaking. Just to tell you that in Marrakesh, the capacity building was done in the morning. And I'm sorry, but if the general decision is that we cannot start before 8:30, we can ask an exception and start our capacity building at 8. It's not too early, it's not too late. And it will permit us to have the capacity building in the morning and work on the ALAC sessions at 9 every day. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tejani. It's Olivier speaking. But I think that we have a restriction because the hotels, not all the hotels are located next to the conference center. So it's all down to transport, to the day or the time when the conference center opens, etc. We'll find out closer to the time when to put them, but I was interested in perhaps sort of drawing out an idea of what topics we would be interested in. We now see what topics would be addressed in the NCUC Uralo session in the afternoon, so what other topics could be addressed, etc. We'll probably have to do that by email, I think, is probably the right way forward. Any comments on this document that we have on the screen, the outreach brainstorming? And I note from Maureen in the chat that the lunchtime sessions in Hyderabad were well attended right through the week. So maybe that's, if we want to get more people to attend, then we have lunch sessions. People go grab a lunch and then have lunch with us and take part in the discussion. Okay, let's move on then to the next part of our agenda, and that's so we've done all the outreach activities. The capacity building session in consultation with capacity building working group, I think we've touched on now as well. Anything else to add to this? Tejani, do you want to add anything else, or anybody else actually on the call would like to add to this? Is there any topic that would be specifically interesting for European users and European stakeholders? Tejani Benjamin.
Okay, sorry, I was unmuting myself. Yes, I think that we need the Uralo to think about the specific topics that are addressing for North Europe, and make a list of them, and then we can work on them together and try to make not a heavy program, but a reasonable program for our capacity building sessions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Tejani. That's a follow-up. So next on our agenda is the Uralo General Assembly, which is something that we have every year. Some years we have a General Assembly where European at-large structure representatives are funded to come to an ICANN meeting, and therefore we have a face-to-face General Assembly. On this occasion, there is no funding for anyone, any of our at-large structures to join, so I'm sure there will be, due to the overall size of, the sort of proximity of Denmark with many other countries in Europe, we will have representatives that will pay their way to come to the General Assembly, but we are looking at having this as what's usually called as a virtual General Assembly, although we will have it face-to-face, but with most people attending remotely. I'm going to put Wolf in the limelight for this. I don't know whether you're prepared for this, Wolf, but this is the agenda for the General Assembly, I understand, is mostly just the usual business of Uralo, not very much going on as far as outreach, and it's not something that really fits so much with outreach. We have discussed the length of the General Assembly, and it's 2 hours between 90 minutes and 2 hours, and that will probably take place at some other time when it can be slotted during the week. Is there anything specific to the General Assembly, Wolf, that could be mentioned on this? And I don't know if Wolf Ludwig is able to speak or not. He might be muted. Am I on the call?
Now?
Oh, now yeah. We can hear you. Go ahead, Wolf. Yes,
okay.
Sorry.
Thanks, Olivier, Wolf Ludwig for the records. Well, I have nothing specific to add. It will be one of our regular general assemblies. I see nothing special. We have to prepare an agenda for it, as we usually do, and invite the members. We have to circulate it via the list, even knowing that most of the members won't be in a position to attend, but those at least who will be in Copenhagen may have an opportunity, and we have to work with those people and offer some remote participation options, and that's it.
Okay. Thanks very much for this, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking, and I have already informed Gisela about our request for the General Assembly time, so she's also working out the room arrangements for this, and a request will be made for it with the meetings team. And next is the promotional items. Here we have a listing of brochures at the moment. I still have some pins, Uralo pins, which I keep very carefully in a small plastic bag. I have a handful of them still left over. When it comes down to the brochures, what are the plans at present? And I'm turning to staff for this question.
Hello, Olivier. This is Sylvia, if I may.
Okay. Yes, Sylvia Baranco, go ahead.
Thank you, Olivier. We have posted the latest version of the brochure, which, as you may recall, we worked on last year in December. That's the latest version, and it's ready to be printed with your approval. So that's with regards to brochures. As always, we have some business cards
as well for your use.
Okay, thank you for this, Sylvia. Heidi Ulrich is next.
Yes, thank you. Just to add a little bit to what Sylvia said, so all brochures had a little bit of an update on the maps, et cetera. So the latest version is actually October of 2016 on the Uralo brochure. They're going to be printing about 500 in Copenhagen in English and around 250, hopefully, in German, and I believe French or Russian. I'm not sure which one it is. I have to double check. But they're going to be printed in Copenhagen. Thank you.
So Heidi, thank you for this. It's Olivier speaking. I have a question on these. I know that when you print more, you get a better deal. But if you add up all the numbers of brochures and the weight that this will represent, how are we to use these? I mean, if there are leftovers, and of course there will be leftovers, will these be carried back into the Brussels office, or
yes.
how will it work?
So this is Heidi. So again, I think we're doing the small run. So again, 500 in English, and I'm just checking it, and German as well, 250, I think, and then French and Russian hopefully as well in 250. So given those small numbers, I think that you should be able to use them in any. And if not, then I would suggest that you just hand carry the few that are left over. So we also now have the ability for the engagement offices and the hub off, the other offices, to have local printing. So again, you know, if you could just let us know in advance what you need in terms of larger printing, then we can go ahead and do that locally at the hub offices and the engagement offices. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Heidi. It's Olivia speaking. I understand that some of us will take some brochures for or other activities so we can actually take them to other meetings later on, but 500 is a lot. It's a significant number of them, and that's why I was asking, will there be any way for these to then be sent to whatever leftover, and I think we might have a couple hundred leftover at least, then can these be taken back to the Brussels office so we could always have some of these, you know, 50 at a time or shipped over to local events, but shipped from Europe?
Mm-hmm. So again, if we have 500, and let's say we give away 200, so 300 divided by 5 is easily, you know, you can carry that home in your hand luggage. They're not that much. And so you just have it with you. I mean, otherwise we can ask staff to carry them back to the local offices, but it just seems that you could carry them yourself and just avoid the extra work of, you know, having to go order them to be shipped, et cetera. But as you wish, you know, we'll work on that.
Well, I thought that perhaps, Jean-Jacques isn't on the call, so that's always good. Jean-Jacques could put some in his suitcase and bring them back to Brussels. But perhaps not. I don't know. Okay. I think that's it then for the brochures. Are any other promotional items foreseen for Copenhagen? I'm not hearing any answer. Am I still on the call?
Olivier, this is Heidi. So, no. There, again, as Sylvia said, you have the promotional brochures, you have the business cards, but most importantly, you have yourselves. And, you know, you're the promotion. And again, as I mentioned above, after speaking with Tanzanika, you will be able to have a spot in the ICANN information booth. So I think that is a good combination. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this update, Heidi. And that takes us over to six other events, and just a brief mention of the Global Equal Multi-Stakeholder Band, the GEMS Jam Session. We have decided on on the evening. It will be on the Tuesday evening. We are aware that there is an Internet Society, ISOC and ICANN, also taking place on Tuesday evening, and so the two events will be coordinated so that ISOC and ICANN always starts earlier in the evening, I think at about 7 o'clock, and ends at about 8:30, 9, maybe even as late as 9:30, and the GEMS, the jam session, will start at about, doors open, I think, at 8, and the band will start playing at around 9, all the way up to midnight. I'm glad to report that it looks as though we might have found a venue. So we'll have more information soon on this. A little bit of fun outside of ICANN. And the great thing with Copenhagen is that it is not such a huge location, huge space around the town. Locations aren't that far away from the hotels and from other things. Farzan mentions the Uralo Band. It's not a Uralo Band. It's the Global Equal Multi-Stakeholder Band that incorporates every single part of ICANN. I think that every supporting organization and advisory committee has at least one musician that they send to it, for better or for worse, should we say, but most of the time for better. So that takes us to any other business, which is not listed here, but are there any other comments or questions? I don't see anyone putting their hand up. My suggestion then for next steps is that we follow up in this small group. Please write in your input on this, the document for the Uralo-NCUC joint outreach. With Tijani, I think Tijani, you can launch a discussion on what topics would be good to talk about. With Gisela, we have to find out if we can have lunchtime capacity building sessions. And I think that's, we have a sizable number of action items that are also in the box on the lower right-hand side of the screen. So we'll follow up immediately afterwards on these action items. I'd like to thank you all for being on this call. I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so I gather there are no further questions or comments. And we don't have another meeting planned now for this small group, but it will be on demand. So once we've gone through a couple of weeks, depending on our progress, we might have another call. So thanks to all of you for joining. And
thanks,
this call is now adjourned. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This meeting is now adjourned. The audio will now be disconnected. Thank you very much and have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.